All right, folks, it's official. When it's 11 a.m. on a Friday, especially when PFT commenters on the line, Scotty's Vodka Rebel Friday, baby.
Let's do it.
PFT, what up, man? How are you?
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. I'm doing great. It's a football Friday. The world is limitless right now. I'm excited. I'm excited to see football again. I'm not going to take this season for granted. I loved week one. I did not like waiting for the afternoon game to watch the Commanders play, but there's nothing like a football Sunday. And I think I told you guys last time I was on how anxious I was to see Jaden out there and how I was, like, honestly, like, a little bit nervous about it. Now I'm just pumped. Now I'm just excited to watch him play. So very, very much looking forward to this weekend.
So, dude, it's kind of been interesting this week. The absolute biggest concern coming out of the Tampa game should be the defense. Maybe the secondary, maybe the pass rush, maybe just the entire defense, right? But
yeah.
In D.C., I think more people were concerned with how much Jaden ran with the football. Where did you land on kind of your reaction from week one?
All right, so I'm sure you guys have talked about Jaden needing to buckle his chin strap a little bit tighter. I'm sure that's been a topic that has come up at
some point this week. We believe they need to address that. Just if it's a smaller helmet or a tighter chin strap, let's get that fixed. That is non-negotiable.
I think what he does is he doesn't buckle it tightly on purpose, and whenever he gets hit, the helmet goes flying, and you're like, oh, that's a penalty. And I think he got a penalty just because his helmet fell off, which is that's next level thinking. He found the market inefficiency.
That's unbelievable thinking. If that's what he's doing.
Yeah, and he's got the Steph Curry mouthpiece going on. It's a good thing I've never said anything bad about Steph Curry chewing his mouthpiece during games over the 8 years of this podcast. I've always been in favor of that, for the record. Let it show. So the hits were somewhat of an issue, but I think there were only two runs that he had that were designed runs up the middle. Those were the ones where I'm like, he should not be doing this. He should not be running into linebackers like this. A lot of the others were he looked at one read, maybe checked out his check down, saw a lot of room downfield if they were playing man, so defense with their back turn, saw a big gap in the coverage and took off and got an easy 6, 12 yards, whatever the case was.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, let's keep doing that. If they're not going to respect that, then take it. I'll take 6 yards. I'll take 10 yards.
All the time.
Every single time. Yeah, that was the easy stuff. And he's got I don't know if he needs to learn to slide better, but he seems to be a head-first slider. He, like, dives a little bit. Whatever it was, he was getting down on the ground. He was avoiding a lot of those hits. But the design runs that they got going up the middle, I would like to see less of those because those are the ones that will definitely add up. You're getting hit by a dude that weighs 50 pounds more than you repeatedly during the game, and that's his favorite thing to do.
Well, dude,
when you see a quarterback, a skinny little guy like Jaden running at you, that's you just start licking your lips if you're a linebacker or defensive end.
Did you see that there was Cliff Kingsbury spoke yesterday, and I was really impressed by this. He owned that he made a really bad call for Jaden at the goal line. One of the design runs that kind of ended up going up the middle because he didn't give him anything to check to, and that the backer didn't go with the motion, and he basically sent Jaden into the cheese grater. And he's like, I was just so impressed because he's so tough and competitive that he still scored anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're right. Like, when we get caught up in the design runs at the goal line is kind of different than the one that they ran at, like, their own 40 or whatever. But I agree with you. I think we get too caught up in the proper slide, like a base runner sliding into third base legs first.
You hit the ball
that
the same way.
Dive, barrel roll, land on your shoulder is pretty kind of normalized across pro football now.
Yeah, if he feels comfortable doing that and he's doing it safely and he's not, you know, landing on his shoulder awkwardly, then I say, yeah, that's good. You're not taking those hits. But yeah, it was just really like two runs up the middle that were designed that had me scratching my head like, that doesn't need to happen. The one at the goal line, he just kind of turned his back to the line and started backpedaling into the end zone, and it worked out. But I could see him taking a bad shot to the spine or to the kidney, and that ended up being real, real bad. But I don't have that much of an issue with the design runs. I want to see, you know what I really want to see is just some more creativity when it comes to downfield passing. Because
mm-hmm.
we didn't really cut him loose. He had that one pass that he overthrew to Terry. That was a pretty bad overthrow. I think he missed by like 4 or 5 yards, and that could have been a touchdown very easily. But we didn't really go back to that at all. I don't know. I don't know if you guys watched the tape. You guys grind on that all 22 because I did not see the all 22. So I don't know if there were shots available downfield. I don't know if it was just something that the defense was making sure to not allow out of Jaden, and so all he had to work with was underneath. But if you look around the league last week, passing was way, way down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's only one 300-yard passer in week one,
yep.
And most guys were in the 100s. Jaden, he did get Rookie of the Week, but I think that if we're being honest, we talked about this on today's Part of My Take, Joe Alt should have gotten Rookie of the Week for the Chargers. But it's never going to go to a lineman. A lineman will never win that award. And it kind of stinks because Joe Alt played really, really good for the Chargers against the Raiders last week. But Jaden was the best of the rookie quarterbacks, and then Marvin Harrison might as well have been in Siberia last week. So I guess they kind of had to give it to him. But he didn't play bad. I thought Jaden played okay, and I think that our defense, it might be a very long season if we don't figure out what's going on with this defense, because that was bad. They got whatever they wanted. It was ugly. It was sad to watch. And I don't know. I guess I got trust in Dan Quinn because he's put together some good defenses before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the roster's not there. Maybe the scheme wasn't right for going up against the Bucs. But whatever it was, it's going to be a long season if it looks remotely like that week in, week out.
But the thing about Jaden, like, he took what was given to him. And I'd much rather him do that than try to force the issue.
I asked him post-game, Jaden, a lot of the passes were at the line of scrimmage. And he's like, yeah, Tampa just really forced us to not be able to get much deep, and I just try to stay patient. So,
but I think every quarterback in the league was doing that, even a veteran quarterback.
Dude, I mean, Josh Allen last night had 140 yards passing.
Yeah.
And that's a playmaking dude.
But the 140 in that situation was because it was short field.
It'll just be interesting to see if this if this week one and now week one plus a game continues, or if it's kind of just a week one
thing. It won't last the whole season, I promise you.
Yeah. You don't think running backs are back? We're not back to 3 yards in a cloud of dust?
Nah. They want you to throw it.
You're probably right. You're probably right about that. I am worried about the Giants, though. I don't want to underestimate the Giants. I know to be fair, the Giants stink. I want to be very clear about that. They're not a good football team. But we're not a very good football team right now. And I feel like the Giants usually have our number in these types of games, even when they're bad. Even when it's Daniel Jones, he's been very, very successful against the Commanders in the past. So we could... It's not like we should be overlooking the Giants at all. We shouldn't overlook anybody. But they are bad, so I want to see us win. If we don't beat the Giants, then it's, for buckle up, because it's going to be a long, long season for us.
Well, dude, it's interesting, too. We're talking with our friend PFT Commenter here on the BetQL guest line. Of course, you can follow PFT Instagram, Twitter, whatever you want, at PFT Commenter. If Washington loses to the Giants, I think it'll be a rough week for Dan Quinn, especially if there's some strategic maybe decision-making that people disagree with. But if the Giants lose, somebody might get fired up there. Like, if the Giants lose this one and Saquon goes off again for the Eagles in another national game, the pressure on New York
is... Will it be Shane or Dable?
I don't know that either of them gets canned this early. It's week two.
I don't know.
But, the pressure up there is...
The man that said he's going to be sick is the owner.
Yeah.
So, let's think about that.
Why did they let that clip out? I have no idea why.
Because he wanted it to be out to have a reason. When I fire you, you know why.
Yeah, you're probably right. The owner's probably playing a little bit of chess on that one, too. It's just head-scratching why they let Saquon walk and they gave Daniel Jones a big contract. I think everybody in real time at that moment was saying, you're making a bad decision. I think the only people that – it was a classic case of you have a quarterback, so you kind of have to pay him. And we see that around the league a lot. If you have somebody that might be halfway good, it's like, well, do we want to stick with this guy or do we want to just completely roll the dice in the draft? And I feel like the Giants, they've won Super Bowls with quarterbacks that haven't been great all the time. Like Eli Manning was a good quarterback for a while, but he had some really, really bad seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think that told the Giants, you don't need a top three quarterback in the league to win a Super Bowl. And they saw Daniel Jones being just a carbon copy of kind of a boring type of Eli Manning guy. And they're like, yeah, we can work with this. We build around him. The problem was they haven't really built around him at all. Mm-hmm. The offensive line still stinks. They've got a couple nice pieces on defense. I guess I like Neighbors. I think he's going to be good. But they let a lot of their good players go. And I'm happy that they did, because we get to maybe not finish in the basement of the division this year. But we got to beat a bad football team. Or else, you know what that makes us? It makes us a bad football team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, we were kicking this kind of debate around the other day. And I feel like you'll be a perfect person to ask this question. Obviously, the Giants are coming to town. Eagles in a couple weeks. Cowboys later in the season. When you and I were growing up, I'm a little older than you, but we're roughly the same age. When you and I were growing up, when Brian was playing, Cowboys week just meant something different. It just did. But today, in the year 2024, for the Washington Commanders, do you still think Dallas is the biggest rival? Has that shifted at all? Whether it's the Giants, the Eagles, I mean, some people say it's the Ravens. Like, has that changed at all to you?
Well, the saddest part about what's happened in the last 25 years is that nobody hates us. I want to be hated.
I'm with you on that.
That's a great point,
dude. I yearn to be hated. So when we were in D.C. the other week, we played that concert downtown here, and there was a big F the Eagles chant that got going, right? And I loved hearing that. It was awesome to hear. And then the next night, we were playing up in Philly, and Roan asked me before the concert, he was like, do you think that they're going to get a F the Commies or, something like that going? I was like, dude, they don't care about us. I would love to be despised enough in Philadelphia for people to yell stuff at me. Like, they throw snowballs at Santa Claus, but I don't think that they would look twice if Dan Quinn walked down the street.
Oh, you know, they like know it's Dan Quinn, they're gonna throw something at him too. They don't like nobody.
That's a possibility, but mostly because Dan Quinn was the defense coordinator on the Cowboys. Like, nobody hates the Commanders, and that to me is the worst part about it. Like, I will lead the charge on this. I have to put my hand up and say, maybe I'm not being a big enough jerk online to Eagles and Cowboys fans. We need to give them a reason to hate us, because indifference is really what's killing me. The easiest way to do that is obviously by winning football games against those teams. But I just yearn to be hated by a fan base. And it's very, very sad. It's very, very sad that we can't even be hated. But we might be on the right track back. I'm still hopeful for the long-term future here. But that defense gave me a lot of doubt as to how much hope I should have for this season. And I'm curious to know your take on this. But Dan Quinn, he goes out there before the game. He's got his hat on forwards in the first half, trying to show, I don't know, professionalism. I don't know what the deal was.
We talked about that yesterday.
He came back out, and the hat was backwards. It reminds me of that dude, what's his name? Gary Patterson from TCU. Sometimes he used to change his shirt at halftime. I don't know. That might have been a sweat issue, too. Maybe he was, like, sweating through his white polo and maybe showing a little bit too much to the crowd. And he had to change into a purple at halftime sometimes, and then they would come out and play better. I don't know if Dan Quinn was trying to change the vibes up in the second half or if he was like, hey, I'm a head coach. I better have my hat forwards because Colin Coward's going to get on the air and rip me apart if I don't. But that was an interesting move that he pulled. I'm still optimistic. Like I said, I'm optimistic about Dan Quinn being able to at least somewhat improve this defense. But again, we're going to learn a lot this weekend because if the Giants carve us up, that's bad news. And it's, you know what?
That would be terrible news.
It's bad going up against, we need to beat the Giants because we're going up against a team whose quarterback earlier this week on Monday was announced as the starting quarterback. And what I mean by that is, like, everybody knows that Daniel Jones is the starting quarterback of the Giants. And then Brian Daboll, in a press conference, said Daniel Jones is our starting quarterback. And everybody was like, okay, that's interesting.
And yeah, we already know that.
That's a bad sign. That's a sign that things are falling apart for an organization. So we can't get beat by a starting quarterback who is just announced as being the starting quarterback, even though everyone already knows.
I think you nailed it, how everybody kind of feels. Like, man, the Giants suck, but do we suck? You know what I mean? It's like there's a level of nervousness, but there's also
– But I think the thing is
– there's a level of calm maybe that Jaden should be the best player on the field.
Yeah, the Giants can suck because they just suck. We suck because we're rebuilding something now. And I think that's the ultimate thing where I think we keep forgetting that thing they say, rebuild. We hear it. Okay, yeah, we know. The season start, we judge them based off of the better teams in the league.
Yeah, I think Adam Peters that said we're not rebuilding, we're recalibrating. I don't know the difference between the two, but I like that he had a bigger word for it that tells me that he's locked in. It is, we have a good excuse for being bad. Yes, we have a much, much better excuse than the Giants do. But again, Daniel Jones, I think he's 5-1 against us.
5-1-1.
5-1. That's right. That tie. That tie was bad.
That was so bad.
I'm getting Rivera flashbacks right now. But yeah, he's 5-1-1 against us. So we have no reason to just think that we're going to win this game. Like we have gotten our butts kicked by the Giants before, and this iteration of the Giants. Yeah. So let's go out there and we should be able to score some points. Jaden should be able to look good. And all I want to see is just slight improvement on the defense and the kicking game. The kicking game was bad.
Yeah.
That was bad last week.
Bad.
That should be improved based off of you let the kicker go.
Dude, I may be on an island here. I don't even care if the defense doesn't look better. I just want to see the offense look better. Because I think defensively, that rebuild is years away. And frankly, if it keeps going like this, I won't be surprised if they're again sellers at the trade deadline defensively. I want to see Jaden take it. Jaden and Cliff, frankly, as a play caller. Like I want to see the passing game look more functional.
Maybe.
I want to see both sides.
You want to see a win.
No, I want to see both sides get better. I don't just want to see the offense, because we brought in the defensive-minded people to run this team.
Yeah.
If the defense is not improving, then that's not good.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I agree with that. So, yes, I want to see the offense look good. Maybe it's kind of a 500 IQ play to have the defense so bad that your offense just gets to spend more time on the field. Like, if they give up home runs, if they give up 60, 70-yard touchdowns, that just means more Jaden out there, getting more reps in on offense and more looks for Cliff. But I do think that it obviously has a lot to do with Dan Quinn. And if the defense doesn't improve, then you start to start thinking to yourself, like, is Dan Quinn going to be the right guy to be at this job for the next 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years? So that part does mean a little bit to me. But also, I want to win some divisional games. You always want to beat the Giants. You want to beat the Cowboys. You want to beat the Eagles. So I do want to see the defense step up and make some plays. How did you guys feel about Bobby Wagner? Because his arms look gigantic this year. I don't know if he's getting extra reps at the curl bar or what's going on in the weight room, but that dude is a monster physically. I saw a couple plays early on where I was like, is this the same Bobby Wagner? And then you look at the stat sheet later, and he's tackling everybody out there. So I don't know. I don't know what you guys saw, but I was left a little confused about whether or not I should be excited about Bobby Wagner.
I tell you what really excited me was late in that game, and they're down 3 scores, and it's hot as hell down there and humid, and you have a guy that's like a surefire Hall of Famer in the fourth quarter of a blowout making a tackle for loss. Like I think as much as dude, he's not the same player he was 5, 10 years ago. He's not. Mm-hmm. But I think he's a veteran presence that's a good tackler. They didn't have much good tackling the other day.
Yep.
I think there's a lot to like there. But this is not Seattle All-Pro 2014 Bobby Wagner.
It might be just a genius move by Adam Peters to bring him in, because Bobby wants to be commissioner of the NFL one day, right? And so having building that relationship with him, one day he's going to be the commissioner, and then we'll be able to get away with all sorts of cheating. That's how Robert Kraft and the Patriots were good for so long, because they had that great relationship with Goodell, who would just slap him on the wrist or burn tapes and throw him in a back room. So maybe Adam Peters just getting a lot of FaceTime in with his boss 6 years from now. So that would be a very smart play.
Chestnut checkers, man.
Oh boy.
The other guy I was a little concerned about, and I'm not writing him off. Don't get me wrong. Not going to write this guy off yet, but Sandstrill had a pretty lackluster debut. I don't know if it was him getting lost in coverage sometimes. I don't know if he didn't know the assignments. I don't know if somebody else missed their assignments. But I was hoping for big things out of him. It seemed like they were picking on him a little bit.
I don't think it was his best.
It was one play that where they got to correct that. Yeah, him and Quan. They can't try to get to cover that much ground from that far away.
That was the deep shot to the rookie McMillan. Yeah. But then the touchdown at the goal line to Godwin, that you might just have to tip your cap. I mean, that's a pretty tough. He got rubbed a little bit, and then Godwin made a really clean break, and Baker threw a really good ball. I don't think you're wrong, but I wouldn't give up. I still really like Mikey. PFT, we got to bounce, brother. Thank you so much for the time, as always.
All right, brother.
All right, you guys have a great weekend. Let's get this W this weekend, guys.
Right. Thanks, man. PFT commenter, legend. Listen to the Pardon My Take podcast. I do. You know what else I do? I do work with Paul Henry. because he's a stand-up guy that gives you honest prices. And when you work with him, you're working with his family. When you call over there, it's the same people that call every day. You know what you're not getting? A call center. You just, Katie answers the phone. Mm-hmm. And you talk to Katie for a couple minutes. And you ask if she's been to a concert recently at Jiffy Lube Live. Like, it's very different. There's no, it's just dealing with people, good products. And if you call right now, $100 off windows with a 5-window minimum and $500 off doors.
Well, unlike JP, I don't do work with Paul. Paul comes to my house and does work because I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
You think I know what I'm doing?
I'm just saying. That's what you're saying. I'm just trying to make sure. But, you know, Paul came over and he's done a great job in my house. And as JP said, when you call them, they're very, very hospitable, let's say it like that. It's like they don't deal with you like a client. They deal with you like a family member. And that's why I felt so comfortable with him, and I keep having him come back over to my house. And I like the fact that they are open and honest about the things they do, and they get things done early, and they do it right the first time. They don't sit here and have you worrying about this, worrying about that, have to come back and redo things. They get it done, and they get it done properly the first time. So if you want to reach out to Paul right now and get you some doors and windows, you can get $100 off each window with a 5-window minimum and $500 off each door. So contact Paul Hinges Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitch and Finley sent you. PaulHingesWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
B. Mitch and Finley on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday. I want to go around the room on this. Everybody's vibing right now. Shout out to Scotty's Vodka.
Jeff looked like he was having a seizure.
So we have an article for it. I think it might be more fun if we do it, and then I can reference the article. Landfill found this cool article from The Athletic, I think. One word to describe every quarterback in the NFC East.
Mm.
All right? I want to do this because in about 10 minutes, we have the premiere, the debut of Jeff Walker's Week 2 Commanders fight song. So I'm going to try to be on time. I'm going to shock you guys. I also have two things of chapstick.
If you
in my
say
pocket,
you're going to
no
be on
why.
Time, we will take that as a shot. But you say you're going to try to be, which you never can do.
We'll let Jeff start. He's quite the wordsmith. Jeff, one word to describe Jalen Hurts. I got my word.
Not really a word.
One word.
Inconsistent is a word.
I say, Dude, you got to learn to just let go along with the conversation. We're already on to the next
one. Overrated. Is that one word?
That is one word. That's a strong word. I tell you what, prison cell much higher on Hurts than the aquarium right there. I'll let B. Mitch start this one because it's his favorite quarterback in the division, Dak Prescott.
What I call him?
Whack. Landini?
I'm going to say misunderstood.
Actually, I would say rich. Dak Prescott.
Definitely that. Jeff?
I'm going to say three words here. Black Tony Romo.
Damn.
He's so good when it don't count.
I don't know if I can tweet that one. I was going to tweet all these.
Just make sure you put it in front of it. Jeff said this. Don't you just tweet like you said.
Yeah.
We're going to protect you a little bit.
I'm going to say this, and I think everybody will understand what I mean. He's good. Typically, you need great to win. He's good. Romo was pretty good. I'm glad Jeff said it, but I kind of like the comp, honestly. I don't know what kind of words we're going to use here. Daniel Jones. Landfill, you start.
Horrific.
Wow.
Atrocious.
Wow.
I don't know if I'm going to go like that.
Hold on. What Danny Jones are we talking about? Versus the Commanders or versus everyone?
See, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think about how he is. I'm going to just say Thorn.
Thorn.
He's all a thorn right. In our size.
Sure. For me, he just strikes me as a nervous dude. Like, he just never seems comfortable. unless he's at FedEx Field or Northwest Stadium.
It's not a good thing.
Seems quite comfortable there. It'd be a great week for the pass rush to show up. I know that much.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the hometown kid, Jaden Daniels. Jeff, you look like you just got out your thesaurus app, buddy.
I look like I was about to be B-Mitch to the buzzer on Family Feud. Promising.
Damn, B, why'd he do you like that?
Promising.
Hey, man, I don't worry about what haters do.
Promising for Jeff. Landfill.
Man, you're going to have to come to me later.
Exciting.
Okay. I will say dynamic. That's a dynamic talent. And we didn't see him do a lot with his arm. I maintain that his arm's better than his legs.
Mm-hmm.
Encouraging.
Encouraging. I like
that. There you go, Landfill. Good one.
All right. Running through. Dak, we have Whack, Misunderstood, Black Tony Romo, and Good. Hurts, we had Tough, Strong,
Black Tony Romo, that's
funny. Overrated, and I forgot one of them. What was yours, Jeff? Inconsistent?
Yes.
Okay. Daniel Jones, Horrific, Atrocious, Thorn, Nervous. Jaden Daniels, Promising, Exciting, Dynamic, Encouraging. I think that kind of tells the story pretty well, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, Dak is, I think they were a little overly harsh on Jalen Hurts, who's been fairly good. I think that's pretty accurate. You know what's definitely accurate?
What's that?
The premiere of Jeff Walker's Week 2 song. Next.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. With the record heat this summer, I know your air conditioner took a beating and your current brand is not cutting it through this humidity. So now is the time to switch to Rood. Take advantage of Rood's $2,000 tax credits. Maryland residents, you can even score exclusive rebates from Rood. I personally switched my house over to Rood, and the difference is night and day. So trust me and visit Rood.com to find your savings. That's R-U-U-D.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
All right, folks, the moment you've all been waiting for, we are fired up. Our guy Jeff Walker every week makes a song in advance of the Commanders game, and he's got it ready. Jeffrey, the floor is yours.
Okay, you know, this is B-3rd team. I hate these guys, and it's New York, so I had to give a New York flow with one of my favorite, my inspiration from one of my favorite old school rappers who we share the same birthday, Slick Rick, and ooh, that was my inspiration for this song, and yeah, let's get it, Landfill.
So I'm getting ready to watch the Bucks and Commanders game. And I overhear my little brother like,
we wake up every Sunday wasting our life, huh? Cheering for a team that we thought was gonna be nice.
And I'm like, bro, you gotta just relax and chill. The Bucks are better team, plus we in the rebuild. You can see it on his face, them words cut him like a knife.
We've been in the freaking rebuild my whole life.
I let a little laugh out like, yeah, that's true. But this time we got the folks who know just what to do. You wishing for the moon, hoping to land on the stars. But we gotta rid the foundation of the subpar. It won't be quick, nah, it won't be instant. But best believe, that boy Adam on a mission.
Okay, I get it. But if we lose to the Giants, I'm gonna be livid.
Nah, for real. Fee-fi-fo-fum. What beanstalk did you fall from? Northwest Stadium, we gotta protect it. Giants trying to take over, getting beheaded. Last D and tried to get my QB, he jetted. But don't get it twisted, he could throw it to the heavens. It's the second game and I know them nerves probably settled. So if Terry open, I know we gon' hit him. Defense get Danny, yeah, it's time to sick him. Gotta keep contained, don't let them burn you up the middle. Cornerbacks locked up, keep neighbors quiet. The Vikings made them mad, we gon' make them start a riot. I can see him now, sighing. He ain't give me the ball, crying. Get us out this misery, go get that first victory, and crush these Giants. Nah, go out there and crush these Giants. They be getting wins that they don't deserve from us for too long. It's time to change that narrative. Left hand up.
That was awesome.
Old school. I see you,
Jeff. That might have been one of my favorites yet, Jeff. I really enjoyed that, dude.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I really, really like that one. Landini, what'd you think?
You went back for that one.
I thought it was great. That I think that might be my favorite one yet.
Dude, it might be mine too. That was awesome. I really enjoyed that. Some good lyrics in there. And I think you hit the tone right of like, it's a long-term rebuild, man. Like, I feel like the Dotson trade into the Bucks game was a real good reminder for everybody. Yo, this team was really bad, dude. Mm-hmm. And gonna take a little bit of time.
Hold on, I gotta break this because this conversation, the song centered around a conversation. So I was talking to Linnell yesterday, right? And he was walking down, he was talking to Russell, he was like, man, I'm mad, like I'm tired of losing. Da 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 da. And I was like, dude, I was like, yo, you gotta understand we in a rebuild. And that's what a line, we've been in a rebuild my entire life. He yelled that yesterday, and I was like, yeah, you do got a point there, bro. But this time we got someone that's doing it right. So I got to shout out Cottonelle on that one because it was funny when he yelled that.
Wait. You called him Cottonelle?
Cottonelle. Remember intern John called him that?
Wait, intern John's the one that started that?
Cottonelle, yeah.
Oh, bro. Yo, it's one thing to be called Cottonelle. That's kind of tough. That is actually the preferred toilet paper of the Finley household.
But the little high school dude?
So everybody knows.
John?
But for John Lindsay, who weighs 110 pounds, to call him that, that's tough. all right, Jeff, I really enjoyed the song. We will play that again at 12:45 and at 1:45.
There we go, Jeff.
I liked it, Jeff. I liked it a lot, man. So anybody that missed Jeff's song, you'll get to hear it again, 12:45 and 1:45. Question for the group here.
All right.
I think the Giants have the better D line, and maybe Neighbors down the road is the better player, but I don't think he is yet. Outside of that, I think Washington is better in this game. And we all have this like, yeah, but you never know when Daniel Jones shows up. Outside of the like football is crazy and Daniel Jones has this trend of being good against them, what is the path towards a Giants win to you in this, B?
We can't handle their up front, their front with Lawrence and guys, and then we flip it over if we can't establish a run. If they stop us from running the football, that's the way that they win the game. But I looked at some stuff where Biadasz has gone against Dexter Lawrence several times. And
yeah.
Biadasz comes up on the right side of that.
He doesn't have a sack or a TFL those games.
I'm kind of like, we do a little thing on the pre and post game show over there, and that is what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that battle right there because that will depict what happens in this game. I've been talking about, we talk about their front a lot, but our interior line can, if they can nullify them, we have a great chance of having a huge offensive game.
Tell me the coach speak on this one. Obviously, Malik Neighbors is a real threat. First round pick.
He is that.
From LSU, he and Jaden connected on a lot of touchdowns together down in Baton Rouge. He was limited in practice yesterday with a knee injury. Brian Daboll says no concern. It was a scare, and they wanted him to sit, but that everything is cool and that he's on track to play Sunday. What do you make of that?
He was limited in practice? I buy it.
All right. We'll see with Neighbors. It sure seems like he's going to play, but I think this is a relatively simple question, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
They're 0-1. They got boat raced in the first one. Some encouraging stuff with the rookie quarterback, but defensively, whoo, that was ugly.
Yep.
Is the Giants game, who I think there were only two performances worse than Washington last weekend. And I would say it's the Giants, and I would say it was the Panthers.
Okay.
Maybe you can include the Bengals if you want. But the Commanders were among the worst teams in the NFL week one. The Giants were among the worst teams in the NFL week one.
Mm-hmm.